This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
All right, on a Tuesday morning, here it is, DPHRO and Rothenberg. Pat O'Keefe once again sitting in for Dave alongside Rick on this Tuesday morning. As the swoon, whatever label you want to put on it for the New York Yankees continues, another nine-inning shutout performance, two in a row now for the Yankees. They haven't scored a run since Saturday night, Rick. And you know what? It seems like it's getting uglier and uglier by the day, doesn't it?
It does. But I can say this, Pat. We had a nice show yesterday, three nice hours getting to know each other. Let's be better than Aaron Hicks today, all right? That's our goal. Be better than Aaron Hicks today. That's all I'm asking.
I feel like that could be accomplished relatively quickly in the show. In the first hour, in fact, I would hope, anyway.
See, this is what I do. I set the bar nice and low, so after the first hour, we feel great. And we crushed this show, buddy. Yeah, the Yankees are struggling, man. I mean, you mentioned back-to-back shutouts. That's the fourth time they've been shut out in their last nine games. Last night it was Aaron Hicks. Gerrit Cole pitched well. I mean, Aaron Hicks got twisted around three different times. Then he grounds into the double play with the bases loaded. I mean, he's struggling. He's got last 16 games, he's 5-for-53. So, I mean, anyone questioning, you know, why would Brian Cashman trade Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader? Well, so you don't have to see Aaron Hicks anymore. That's why you do it. And I get it. He's not. You know, he's currently dealing with the plantar fasciitis, so he's not playing right now. But again, it was one of those nights where it's the Yankees are having a hard time syncing it all up. Like Gerrit Cole pitched good enough to win. Offensively, they did nothing. You had the Rizzo play. You had, you know, Trevino trying to sack bunt, which didn't work. But offensively, they had nothing. And then, you know, then the bullpen. It's funny because I get a chance to watch this series with my in-laws are in town. And my father-in-law is a huge Rays fan. So I get the commentary from the Rays side as I'm watching the game. And it was funny. So they have the 1-0 lead. And, you know, having watched, you know, every single one of these Yankees games, he's like, oh, we need some, and we need another run. We need some insurance. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm telling you, you're good. You do not, you won't need insurance. You're fine. And they finally ended up getting it, and it was Siri that did it. And his reaction after he gets that base hit, he's like, oh, that's embarrassing. You should never let that guy get a hit. He stinks. The Yankees, they can't do anything right, so... Yeah, man. I mean, this is, again, we can keep selling it as this is the right time to struggle because, again, Toronto's equally as bad, so you're not losing ground on Toronto. You're going to win the division, and you're just trying to get, you know, everyone healthy and back before the postseason. But, I mean, this is becoming a larger and larger sample size, right? Like, this is not, you know, a couple weeks where they're struggling. Yeah, we got a much larger sample size than that now. And, I mean, I guess you can point to the starting pitching's has been pretty consistently good. But without Stanton in that lineup, without LeMahieu in that lineup, I mean, it's pretty much been all on Judge. And if Judge doesn't carry the team, the team's not winning.
Well, there's a couple things here. Number one, yeah, they still have that 10-game lead. Tampa Bay last night with their win moves into a tie for second with Toronto. So now both of those teams are 10 games behind the Yankees. And that's who the Yankees are playing this week. They got two more against the Rays and then a four-game series at the stadium against the Blue Jays. But at some point, Rick, this is going to become more than just, okay, well, this is the time of the year you want to struggle. At some point, you have to show some sort of an indication that you're going to be a team that can win in the playoffs, because this division, and this is the first time I think I've actually been here, now that Tampa's the team behind them, because Toronto struggled almost as much as the Yankees. I mean, they've missed a golden opportunity here. But Tampa's always tough, and they're always feisty, as your father-in-law will probably tell you. And Tampa's a team that's not going to go away, and they always play the Yankees extremely tough. So now that they're the team that is directly behind the Yankees, I mean, and you're right, the Yankees lineup is Aaron Judge, and that's it. Like, last night, it's still 1-0 in the bottom of the eighth, and Gleyber Torres, who they put in the leadoff spot last night to try to get him going, and it seemed to work. He got a couple of hits. He leads off the eighth inning with a single. So, okay, the tying run's on base. It's a 1-0 game, and Aaron Judge is up. And Judge hits a sharp ground ball up the middle, and that shortstop for Tampa's got a really nice glove. Walls made a nice stab and ended up turning it into a double play. And as soon as that double play was turned, the game was over. Like, you knew the game was over because Judge was your last chance in that Yankees lineup to get something done. And it has been like that for far too long right now. And to your point, who knew that Harrison Bader would end up being the second most important player on this Yankees team? He can't get back from that injury soon enough, based on what we're seeing from Aaron Hicks.
Well, that was the worst thing that happened to Aaron Hicks, was them trading Joey Gallo. Because now, I mean, we took some phone calls on Cashman yesterday, but it's glaring, right? Like, I mean, he's another one of those players, and I get that Brian Cashman, one of his goals was to, you know, to build a team that can you know, obviously win during the regular season, to get you to the postseason, but that's better equipped to win in the postseason, right? Like, you got a lot more IKF brought in for his defense, bat the ball kind of guy. Benintendi, same kind of deal. Trevino behind the plate defensively. That's like, all right, let's focus on better defense. Let's run the bases better, which they were awful at last season. And, you know, let's have a lineup that's not so much swing and miss. And when they're going well and when they were whole, I mean, they were awesome. I mean, they got off to a 52-18 start. Like, they were great. They were the best team in baseball. And they're still, defensive run saves, the best team in baseball. But, I mean, right now, without a couple of their big bats, you're right. Like, as soon as Judge grounded into that double play, the game was over. It was. Like, this is just, there are guys, you know, throughout that lineup right now, there's too many holes. Guys are struggling. And on top of that, you're seeing too many. RJ was texting us last night in the group chat, just non-competitive at bats. I mean, in the seventh, you had Trevino and Kiner Falefa, who had absolutely zero chance against Thompson. Like, just overmatched, overwhelmed. There was no hope for them. And that's like, to be honest with you, Pat, I was actually surprised that when IKF got that single before Hicks grounds into the Nubs went into the ending double play, because it was Hicks coming up, I was surprised. And I know Arozarena's got a great arm, but he was kind of off balance, that they didn't take a chance and push the envelope a little bit and try to send him, just because they've been having such a hard time scoring runs.
Hicks now has grounded into a double play with the bases loaded 4 times this season, and that's the most in Major League Baseball. And he's become the face of this thing, but he's by no means the only one in the lineup that is not playing up to par. You know, you go up and down. Benintendi was traded for. He got to New York as a 320 hitter, and his average is down to 302. You know, Miguel Andujar, I've always been a proponent of him. I say put him in the lineup every day, he gets a hit. He does get a hit every day, but every day it's a 1-for-4 with not a lot of power, so he hasn't added a lot. You know, Josh Donaldson, all right, every time you talk about Josh Donaldson, the first thing you say is what? Well, his defense has been really good. And why is that the first thing we say every time? Because he's a 222 hitter with a 386 slugging percentage. Rizzo had a really tough night. I mean, Rizzo and the hit by pitch last night, which I thought was ridiculous. I'm not really sure where he was supposed to go when he gets hit by the
stop
pitch.
Stop it.
Really?
Yeah, heard it after the game. Stop it. He knew exactly what he was doing. There was 2 strikes, and what he said, he was pissed, and he didn't think it should, because his track record says that he gets hit by a lot of pitches because he crowds the plate.
He does crowd the plate.
Okay, but he said it after the game. He said, do you know how pissed that would have been if that ball comes back across the plate for a strike? So he was going to make sure that ball had no chance to get back across the plate.
I hear you, but listen, they have let that slide before, and that was when that happened. Though, you figured that was his only chance of getting on base. You know, once they call him back into the batter's box, you know he's going to make an out. He ended up striking out. He ended up striking out three times last night. I mean, that's where we are with this team. This is your cleanup hitter who's got like 20-something home runs, and you're hoping that he goes up and gets hit by a pitch. It's like Rudy Stein in the Bad News Bears. Just go into the batter's box and get hit by a pitch, because, again, outside of Aaron Judge, that is your best chance at a base runner right now.
Yeah, no, if that's, but I mean, I guess that's, I mean, that's really the biggest problem. I mean, if that's what we're focused on, was Anthony Rizzo being hit by a pitch, which would have made it first and second with one out, as you know, as one of the reasons why the Yankees didn't score a run or give themselves a chance to win this game, then, I mean, that's
a rally.
But that's a bigger problem, though, man.
That's the problem.
To be one of the best teams in baseball.
It was. Not the way they're playing right now. Not what we're looking at right now.
Gerrit Cole, in his last 13 innings pitched, which is his last couple starts, has given up one earned run and has had zero run support. Zero runs. Not one run.
We were texting last night, at least Cole is pitching well. And again, with the Yankees these days, every time you, at least I say a sentence about them, it always has the qualifier, well, at least this, you're searching for positives. And Cole is a positive, because his three starts off the All-Star break were not good. His third start was a disaster when he gave up the six runs in the first inning to Seattle. But his last two starts, where he has pitched extremely well but got no run support, that's at least a good sign. He seems to be back on track, and this is a tough Tampa Bay lineup he faced yesterday. But Cole's playing well. Judge is playing well. I mean, there's 26 guys on the team, Rick. Who else is playing well?
Well, that speaks to the bigger problem right now, which is, like, as one of the best teams in baseball, and the reason why they were one of the best teams in baseball, and I know, I mean, everything was clicking, starting pitching was great, bullpen was, you know, locked down, Clay Holmes was an all-star, like, you name it, Aaron Judge, you know, lineup, everyone was finding a way to contribute, but, like, most of these teams, most of these better teams in baseball, they have a couple guys in their lineup that are good enough at points during the season to carry the team if everyone else is struggling. Like, I mean, Judge has been consistently good the entire season, but he can't always do it on his own. Like, he needs somebody to lean on in that lineup. Like, guys will chip in and, you know, have good nights, but consistently you need a couple guys in that lineup that you can count on to carry you. And I think Stanton is one of those guys. Like, with the Mets, you have, like, the reason why the Mets have been so good outside of, well, obviously great starting pitching and everything else, is because, like we mentioned yesterday, Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor play every single day. And those two, when they're, I mean, they're capable of carrying a lineup. Well, even when everyone else is struggling, like, Pete can carry a lineup, Lindor can carry a lineup, it's only Judge. So if you don't have anyone else in that lineup to lean on, like, yeah, I'm just sitting here, and you said that, and that was my first thought when it happened. And that's why I was like, my father-in-law was like, oh, we needed some insurance. Like, when Judge hit into that double play, you're right. I felt like, no, you don't really. One run will be enough, because this, like, once we get past that part of the Yankees lineup, unless Rizzo, you know, when he didn't have a good night last night, unless he runs into one, like, you're fine. Because, I mean, there's not much else. And that's the thing, though, too, right? Like, when you have, like, everyone expected DJ LeMahieu, once he had, you know, he dealt with injury last year, but he would come back, and he's been good. And now the toe, he kind of has derailed him a little bit, and that's why he's not currently playing. But, like, you made a conscious effort to be better defensively and sacrifice some of your offense, right? You did that at short. You did that at third. You did that behind the plate. Like, with the thought that you're going to have LeMahieu playing the way LeMahieu can play and Stanton playing the way that he can play,
and
that would be enough. And Torres, too, and that would be enough. And you know what? That was the case. But, like, I'm just sitting here looking at that lineup. Without LeMahieu and Stanton in that lineup, that is not that's not a scary lineup.
No.
It's not.
Especially with Rizzo hitting .221. And I know batting average isn't what it used to be, but it's still an indicator. Rizzo .221. Torres snapped an 0-for-21 streak yesterday. He's at .247. Donaldson, again, defense has been really good. He's at .222. All right, this is the team that was on 117 win pace right around the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break, they're now 8-16. So they're on a 54 win pace since the All-Star break over their last 24 games. Here's Boone after the game last night. Where has this Yankee team's swagger gone?
I think there's a few individuals that are probably wearing it, you know, right now with how we've struggled in some particular games over this last week or 10 days. Big picture, you know, going back even over the last month, the offense has been there. We've had those like 4 out of 9 where it's been a struggle for us. And I think there are some individuals that are wearing that and kind of fighting through it and trying to find it. And it gets hard. That's part of it. You got to find a way when it gets hard. You got to be able to dig yourself out. It's good to see Glaber have, you know, 2 more really good at bats at the top of the order tonight after hitting a few balls on the nose in Boston. Hopefully that's something that kind of gets him on track, but we got to get more of that going.
How about this from Boone? And you mentioned Alonso in the lineup every day. Lindor wants to be in the lineup every day. That hasn't been the case all season long for the Yankees. And in the first half, it worked out really well when they had a comfortable lead, when everybody they seemed to plug in did their job and led to winning. But now that's no longer the case. So the question was asked of Boone last night, is there currently a lack of urgency?
You had been saying at the beginning of the year, we're making deposits now, we might have to take withdrawals later. Do you worry, though, there's not a sense of urgency because we're good, we've got this 10.5 game lead?
No. That's why I never, whatever point of the season, at the highest point of our season when things are going well, it's like, it's great and all. We understand we got a long way to go and there's bumps that are coming. And so, no, unfortunately, I think the season we've had so far where you race out to this big lead and are on this historic pace in the first half, we've hit a rough patch. We haven't played our best baseball. So that can turn into people's heads, whatever they are, narratives of, I don't think it's that other than we just haven't played our best. We've missed a couple of key figures in there, but we got to find ways to win games. But no, I've never felt that with this group. You know, we're just going through a tough time right now that we got to fight through. And I feel like we're doing that and we'll do that.
Yeah, but that's the thing though, Pat. I mean, you got to like the Mets went through this where they played, you know, they for a bunch of different reasons, they started to sputter a little bit, and they played, you know, right around, I think they were game over 500, and then they figured it out, and they turned it around. You got to make sure it stays just a bump, and right now this is trending to, especially when you heard Stanton yesterday about his Achilles, it's trending towards more than a bump, because, and this is any sport, this goes for any sport. We'll talk about this with, you know, with the Jets and the Giants. We'll talk about this with the Rangers and the Islanders. Like, what separates good teams from great teams or average teams is finding ways to win those close games as opposed to finding ways to lose those close games. And right now the Yankees are finding ways to lose these close games, which wasn't the case early on in the season. And, I mean, 8 runs in 6 games, that's not going to get the job done. And you've lost 10 of your last 12. So, yeah, you can say it's a bump, but it's starting to become a little bit more than a bump.
Early in the season, the Yankees made a living on winning these close games. Anytime it was close, as it got late, you just had confidence that they were going to pull it out because they did night after night after night. And I said this yesterday. It's the exact opposite right now. You have no confidence. 1-0 last night as you're moving on and you're watching those non-competitive at-bats, to quote RJ. You just don't have any confidence that they're even going to break through with 1 run, let alone win a game.
Well, and here's the other thing, though, too. So, yeah, you're right. And I was saying the same thing, is that this game is over. But still, like, at least get to the bottom of the ninth only down a run, knowing right now that you're struggling, and that's, again, your elite bullpen. So it's always something. It doesn't seem during this slide that it's synced up, because then now Peralta with a couple walks and Trevino comes in, and before you know it, now you're in the bottom of the ninth. It's 4-0. You have, and there's no chance. The Yankees on the bench don't think they have a chance. At least down one, you're like, okay, you know, someone could do something special here and get us tied up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Braves now 4.5 games out of the Mets, behind the Mets in the National League East. Pat O'Keefe and Rick DiPietro here on DiPietro Rothenberg Tuesday morning. But we're talking Yankees right now. Calls are lined up after the Yankees' latest shutout loss, 4-0 last night at the stadium. 1-800-919-3776. Rick, let's lead things off this morning with Tony on Staten Island. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good,
Tony. What's going on, Tone?
Very, very disappointed Yankee fan. First half of the season, they were an enjoyable watch. You waited for them to come back. It's almost the opposite now. And I just have a question for you. When analytics work, everything's great. When analytics are not working, where's the change? Like, Stanton's out. You had Rizzo out. Like, where's the hit and run? Where's maybe the stolen base? Where's the manufacturing and doing something
different? What do you mean?
Waiting for the home run.
Well, you won a game with a suicide squeeze the other day from Kiner Falefa. You had Trevino yesterday try a sack bunt. You had Benintendi try to drag a bunt for a single. It's amazing to me. Like, all the things that we were talking about, why this Yankees team was different when they were the best team in baseball was, oh, look at, they'll steal a base. They'll hit and run.
Can I ask you a quick question about Hicks before you hang up?
He stinks.
Are the Yankees better off bringing up somebody from the minor leagues instead of running Aaron Hicks out there almost every day for us to just suffer and have to watch him go through these at-bats, and now his defense is suffering? The Yankees have no better option in their entire organization that they could plug in right now temporarily till Bader's back?
Well, it's going to be, I mean, you'll get more at-bats for LeCastro. To bring Floreal up, you need a roster spot.
Yeah. LeCastro's the answer because they're concerned about Andujar's defense. They would put Andujar in the outfield, and they're also concerned about running Judge out in center field every day. The only three guys on the roster right now who can play center field are LeCastro, Judge, and Hicks. And they don't want to put Judge. They don't want to put that extra stress on his legs down the stretch of the season. They have said that. So right now, unfortunately, Hicks is their best option. The other part of this that has hurt has been Carpenter.
Yes, that's a huge loss for them. Huge.
We mentioned Stanton, and we mentioned LeMahieu. Carpenter's absence has been huge. And by the way, Rick, we haven't even discussed, we're talking about the offense and the struggles. We haven't discussed the biggest play of the game last night, that defensive play in center field. I mean, that was a joke.
Oh, from Hicks, yeah.
Oh, my God. That looked like a little leaguer.
Yeah, he got turned over. I mean, he got turned around three different times. But that was one of the things with Hicks was, and I give him credit because he stayed healthy. That was one of the the big question marks about him. But I mean, it was again one of those players where an on base guy, and you could deal with a lack of offense because he was so great defensively. And that's not the case. I mean, you feel much better with Aaron Judge playing center field for you. And I mean, I gave you the numbers for Aaron Hicks. 5 for his last 53, which isn't going to get the job done.
Now, when Hicks was a new Yankee and came over in that trade from Minnesota, he was bad offensively from the beginning. He started to ingratiate himself to Yankee fans with his defense. He made a couple of, ridiculous throws from the center field wall, throwing runners out at the plate, throwing runners out at third base, and a couple of great catches. But that was also a long time ago.
He's had Tommy John. Remember the best catch I've ever seen him make was that game against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Was that an amazing catch?
It was amazing. It won the game for them. And he was in his prime at his best, just a tremendously athletic player. But the injuries have taken a toll on him. He really only has had one good stretch as a Yankee, and it was in the 2017 playoffs when pretty much the whole team got hot and they came within a game of the World Series before losing to Houston. But Hicks was a big part of that. Sanchez was a big part of that. Judge was a big part of that. But that was 5 years ago. Then he signs the long-term contract, and he hasn't had a good stretch since.
You know what it is, Pat? I mean, this is, again, the one criticism I have, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for Brian Cashman. I think he's great at what he does. But he occasionally does end up having a blind spot. And I feel like, Aaron Hicks is one of those guys where we found him. I'm going to show you that he can be good. And then even when he's not good, there's still that, no, I'm telling you, he's going to be good. And it's like, yeah. At a certain point, you're like, listen, and I guess I think by bringing in Harrison Bader, they're probably acknowledging that it's just that we've given him enough time and he's just not what we thought he would be. But I think there's a lot of Yankees fans that feel that way with, you know, with players that, you know, are cast-offs from another team that Brian Cashman finds and feels like he, for whatever reason, the Luke Voit thing, like with for whatever reason, he can, you know, he can get the best out of them. I think he does the same thing with prospects sometimes, holds on to them for too long, and then they end up losing their value. But for anyone that was outraged that they traded Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader, I think you're getting a pretty good idea of you know why that was something that Brian Cashman wanted to address. Because you can't have Hicks taking meaningful, like he can't be taking meaningful at bats right now in big games, in postseason games.
No, I mean, if everybody comes back, if Stanton comes back, if Carpenter comes back, and those are big ifs, especially, but actually both of them are big ifs. But if everybody comes back, Hicks shouldn't have a spot on the roster in the postseason.
No, you'll have Benintendi. Yeah, you'll have Benintendi in left. I have to imagine you're not trading Montgomery for Harrison Bader if Harrison Bader's not going to be a guy you're going to plug into center field every day. Like he's going to, so Bader in center, you'd have Judge in right, Stanton with DH. And that actually gives you the versatility too now where you can decide of Donaldson, Torres, and LeMahieu what you want to do there. Right? Like if Donaldson continues, you know, if is not great offensively, you can put LeMahieu at third if you want.
Or if Torres isn't good offensively, you could put LeMahieu at second. Yeah. Or, and then you also have the Carpenter piece. If you want to get Carpenter's bat in the lineup, then you probably take Bader out of the lineup. You put Judge in center field. So they do have options. Look, all is not lost, but when you lose and lose ugly day after day after day, it gets extremely frustrating. Let's go to Yovan Israel.
You're just lucky that Toronto isn't taking advantage.
There you go. Well, Tampa's up next, so they're 10 games out. They're the team to watch now. Yov, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Keith. I got to tell you guys, I mean, the way I feel right now is the same way I felt like last year after we lost to the Red Sox. I just look on the Yankees lineup and I ask myself, who is the must-have player? I mean, if I was a Red Sox fan and I play against the Yankees and I look at the lineup, I mean, as a Red Sox fan, who is the must-have player for the Yankees? Maybe Judge, and other than Judge, Stanton, that's it. I mean, look at that Josh Donaldson trade. We traded away Gio Urshela. Look at his number this year. He's a better player than Josh Donaldson this year, average-wise, home run-wise, and run body this wise. You took $25 million in that trade. If you gave that $25 million away for Carlos Correa and kept Gio Urshela, Urshela, you'll be much better today. I mean, what an awful trade by Brian Cashman. The Yankees are in a tough spot, guys.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't look good now, and I get it. The longer this goes on, the more and more Yankees fans are going to get frustrated. But, I mean, there's still time to figure it out. They're still not whole. They're not healthy. You decided that when you made that deal, everyone was sick of Gary Sanchez.
That was the part. That's the important part of the deal, yeah. Rick. Just getting off of him. And I would say that's been a win.
Yeah, that's been a win. And, again, like, you don't... When you make deals like this, too, as far as, you know, how a player is going to respond to being a Yankee or how a player responds to no longer being a Yankee, like, I mean, once that pressure is off. But they thought that Donaldson had some upside. Defensively, they thought he was just as good, if not better, and he had more pop in his bat, which is supposed to be the case. And then you got, you know, the shortstop that you were targeting with IKF. You know, bat-to-ball, average guy who's going to play great defense.
The Yankees, if you factor in Bader, have improved their defense at four key spots since last year. Third with Donaldson, behind the plate with anybody besides Sanchez, at shortstop with IKF, and in center field with Harrison Bader. But at some point, like, I'm all for sacrificing a little offense for defense at shortstop, for example. I think what Kiner Falefa has given them this season offensively, considering his defense, has been more than adequate. But at some point, there's only nine spots in this lineup. You can't have four quote-unquote holes occupied by a defensive-minded player. And that's unfortunately for the Yankees, and this isn't what they were expecting. That's what Donaldson has turned into for them. He's turned into a defensive-minded player. And for they were expecting more than that from Josh Donaldson. Kiner Falefa, I think they're fine. They're thrilled with Trevino. They've gotten more than they could have imagined out of him. But Donaldson and Hicks, and now Hicks is in the spotlight, but I've been saying this for weeks, Donaldson along with Hicks were the two guys who didn't want to see Joey Gallo go because Gallo took the brunt of it. And now it's Hicks, and Donaldson still has a little cloud cover.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. I mean, you're absolutely right. That I mean, that's the best way to describe what this lineup is right now. Is yeah, I'm more than happy, especially to get the best out of my rotation, my pitching staff, is to sacrifice, you know, some offense for defense in certain spots. But it can't be like catcher good, shortstop fine, right? Like there's certain places in that lineup you can deal with it. But I mean, right now, and Aaron Boone kind of alluded to that with that clip we played, there's guys struggling right now and they're searching for it. And in baseball, that's the last thing you want. Because that's the one sport, the harder you try sometimes, the more you press, the less productive you are.
Well, they're all struggling right now. Shut out in back-to-back games for the first time since 2016. 8 runs scored in their last 59 innings of baseball after last night's 4-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I want to know what your thought was when the trade deadline moves, especially for the Yankees, Rick, were made. You know, bringing in Benintendi a couple of days before, shoring up the bullpen with Efros and Trevino. Obviously, we've discussed a lot of the Bader trade. Frankie Montas has had a bad start and a good start so far. The Yankees, I would say, side-by-side comparison with the Mets, were much more aggressive at the trade deadline. In the moment, what did you think of the moves that the Yankees made, Rick, to shore up their roster for the stretch run?
I thought the Yankees, outside of not getting Castillo, and I guess I understood why, when you started to read reports of, you know, of what was being asked for, I kind of got it. But I thought at the time that Brian Cashman had a great deadline and that he answered all the questions that needed to be answered. I was a little confused at first with the Montgomery trade because there were some reports that, you know, Glaber's name was being mentioned in a potential deal to Miami, trying to get another pitcher, to Pablo Lopez or Rodon, to, you know, take Montgomery's spot. But no, I thought, and I mean, RJ and Santiago are both Yankees fans, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought most Yankees fans we talked to, including the two on our show, thought that Cashman did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought they were good moves as well. I also agree with the Castillo assessment. I mean, the asking price, if the reports are correct, with Dominguez and Volpe, seemed too high a price to pay for that. You know, we got a couple of interesting things out of Buster Olney yesterday when he visited with us. I mean, you asked him if there was another trade that the Yankees were waiting on before the Montgomery trade, and the one that most people had heard was the one with Miami. He said no, and I like the way he laid it out because that, too, was a head-scratcher for me. Why would you trade Montgomery for a center fielder who's not going to play until September? But as he said, Montgomery's your fifth starter, so he's not going to be in the rotation of the playoffs, and he's not one of these. You know, like, you could take a Luis Severino and you could throw him in the bullpen and he could be your eighth inning guy in the playoffs. Montgomery's not that type of guy. If anything, he's a long guy out of the bullpen. So as Buster laid it out yesterday, he's probably not even going to be on the playoff roster. So from that standpoint, the Yankees felt that he was expendable.
But I think it also speaks to, which I think frustrates, I know it frustrates me, and I'm not even a Yankees fan, and you played the clip of Kay asking, you know, Boone, is there a lack of urgency? That speaks to the Yankees, though, for me, their lack of urgency. With Severino on the 60-day IL, I get you're gearing up for, you know, for your run to try to get to a World Series, but say what you want. Like, having home field throughout the course of the American League playoffs is a big deal when you start talking Yankees going up against Houston. And for the Yankees, that it doesn't feel like that ever entered their thought process. Like, it's fine, we'll win the division, doesn't matter if we have home field. Well, it kind of does. Like, look at your numbers at home as opposed to on the road. Like, I mean, in the your recent history, I mean, Buster laid it out, your recent history on the road in you know, big-time postseason games hasn't been good. So, I get it. You're all, I mean, it's all about making moves to try to win in, you know, to win in the postseason. But I would have liked to have seen, I still would like to see them have some, or have, no, it's had now because they keep losing, but had some urgency to say, you know, yeah, we're, you know what, we're good with the AL East, but we want more than that. We want to, you know, we want to win. We want to have the best record in the American League.
Yeah, and they had that for a very long time. They're 41-16 at home, and the team that is ahead of you, so the team that you basically are ceding home field advantage to in a potential ALCS matchup, like you said, beat you on their home field in Game 7 in 2017 and beat you on their home field in Game 6 in 2019. So the recent history is right there in front of you, but obviously it doesn't seem to have been a priority.
And then you got smacked around last year by Boston in Boston.
In Boston, exactly right. Yep. Let's get a call in here, Rick. Let's go to Eli in Washingtonville. Eli, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Listen, Rick, I really don't understand why you keep on, like, backing Brian Cashman and things that he does. Fine, you know, the trade deadline moves were basically him covering up the mistakes he did in the offseason when he brought the whole first part of the lockout, didn't make any moves. And then after the lockout, the moves he made no sense. Like everything that they were trying to save money for, you know, to keep our homegrown guy, and Judge never got a contract. So you didn't do nothing to address the outfield, which Marte was there for the taking. One on the trade, that was a trade you should have made instead of Joey Gallo. And then in the offseason when he's off,
well, you already had Joey Gallo. Well, you already had Joey Gallo, and I didn't hear anyone complaining when they got Joey Gallo in Rizzo last year, adding left-handed bats to your lineup. It was too, every phone call we took was this lineup is too right-hand dominant, and you went out and fixed that and got two left-handed bats.
Gallo didn't play well. I liked those moves at the time too, and Rizzo's been pretty good, especially this year, power-wise. Gallo didn't work out. You know, Gallo was like Sonny Gray. I like the Sonny Gray trade once upon a time when they brought him in. There are certain guys that come to New York, and specifically the Yankees, but it happens to the Mets also. There are certain guys that come to New York and they just don't play well.
Yeah,
and I had a feeling the entire time that Gallo was going to, his career wasn't over. Like he's still going to have some moments.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I get what you're saying. And this, the people have like this personal vendetta against Brian Cashman. But, like, I mean, yeah, first of all, his job's not easy. And second of all, man, you're in the playoffs every single season. There's a reason for that. Like, there's a reason why you're always in the postseason. Like, it's because Brian Cashman is really good at what he does. And, yeah, he's going to make some mistakes. And there should be some pressure on him now to get back to a World Series. But what would you rather him do? Like, just go into the deadline and go, yeah, I'm not going to fix the, we have things that need to be fixed, but I don't want to get any blowback for the moves I made during the offseason, so I won't fix the mistakes that have been made. Like, everyone can see that Joey Gallo can't handle New York and he stinks, but I don't want to admit that I was wrong, so we'll keep Joey Gallo and we won't bring in Andrew Benintendi, like, because I don't want to look like an idiot. No, he made the move. Now, Benintendi hasn't lived up to his end of the bargain yet. That's part of it, too. Like, yeah, you have to live up to your end of the bargain. Like, you can trade for players, but they have to step in and do what you expect them to do. And right now, Benintendi's not doing what you expected him to do in this lineup.
No, Benintendi, and this is what I wanted to get to. If you look at the moves, and, like, we're both in agreement. At the time, we liked the moves. But, and how much of this is Cashman's fault? Bader hasn't played yet. Okay, we knew that going in. Benintendi's batting 185 as a Yankee. He's 10 for 66. 185 may sound familiar to Yankee fans because that's basically what Joey Gallo's batting average was when he was a Yankee, although at least Gallo ran into one once in a while and hit one out. Frankie Montas' first start, and I know he was coming off a long layoff in St. Louis, was a bad one. He bounced back nicely at Fenway Park. And even this is a fun side-by-side comparison because if you're looking at the Mets trade deadline acquisitions, they were more along the margins. You know, Vogelbach, shore up the designated hitter spot. He's been great. 3 home runs, 11 RBIs in 19 games, and 921 OPS. Naquin, adding depth. He's got 3 home runs in 13 games. Here's my favorite side-by-side comparison, though. And this is a stretch. Lou Trevino, out of the bullpen last night, 1/3 of an inning, and he contributed to the Yankees allowing that game to get away from them in the top of the 9th inning. Darren Ruff, for the Mets, 2 shutout innings out of the bullpen.
He was dynamic on the mound last night.
Even Billy Epler's picked up the better relief depth than Brian Cashman. Look, that's not I liked all the moves, and it's very early to run through this audit, but it doesn't look good for Brian Cashman right now at this moment on the 16th of August, 2.5 weeks after the trade deadline.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And how quickly the narrative can change, right? Because you're not wrong. I actually thought that Brian Cashman did a better job than what the Mets did. And, you know, you mentioned the margins. It felt like, you know, the Mets were kind of doing what Atlanta did last year during the deadline. It wasn't everyone wanted a big bat. No, we're not going to get a big bat. We'll go, you know, Vogelback and Ruff. And then you mentioned Naquin. I mean, the only one that really hasn't worked out so far has been Givens in the bullpen. He has not been great at all for them in the bullpen. But, yeah, man, it's just baseball's, like you mentioned, Darren Ruff. That's the crazy part about baseball, though, man. I mean, it's you could be the best team in the league, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go into the slide where it feels like, you know, you're never going to score a run. You're never going to win a game. But it took Darren Ruff 5 pitches to get through an inning. 5. That's it. It's you know what I mean? It's like it doesn't make any sense sometimes. It doesn't, but I think the Yankees will figure it out, but I think my feeling, and I don't even think this is just exclusive to them struggling right now, I always felt that as good as the Yankees were, that the Astros were a little bit better, especially now with getting McCullers back. I always thought the Astros were just a little bit better.
And they made that clear. They made that clear their first meeting in the Bronx, that really entertaining 4-game series, that the two teams split. But the Yankees needed a ridiculous rally in the first game and the last game of that series, walk-off hit and then a walk-off home run for Aaron Judge just to earn that split. So it was clear right from the beginning, and the Yankees were well ahead of them in the standings at the time.
All they're doing right now is just making it very clear to everybody in Major League Baseball and outside of Major League Baseball that Aaron, as good as Shohei Ohtani's been, and he's been, I pitching-wise, too, this year. I know offensively his numbers are down, but pitching-wise he's been great. Aaron Judge is the American League MVP, and it's not even a question. It's not even a question what he means. Could you imagine what this team, and I give, again, another one of the, you know, betting on yourself, like, everything going almost as perfectly as you could have scripted it. Like, he's, knock on wood for everybody, he's been healthy. But could you imagine what this team would be without Aaron Judge for an extended period of time? Oof.
Well, that's the biggest problem. What we've been talking about for nearly an hour now. It's more glaring now than at any point this season. Let's switch gears to the Mets. And they started this 4-game series last night in Atlanta. 13-1 Braves win over the Mets. Game included a nearly hour-long rain delay. The Braves jumped on Carlos Carrasco early. Carrasco came back after the delay and then left shortly thereafter with tightness in his left side. So, you know, a concern there from the Mets' perspective for sure. Here's Carrasco afterwards talking about leaving the game early.
It happened, it just got tight a little bit, and I don't want to push more, so that's what I feel there.
Just tight on the one pitch?
One pitch, the last pitch on the game, I just feel tight.
What's your level of concern that this could be a long-term issue?
You know, I don't know yet. We're just going to wait till tomorrow, how to feel tomorrow, and then we'll go from there.
And Buck was asked about this, if he thought that the delay, sitting out the nearly hour-long rain delay and then coming back out, affected Carrasco.
You know, it's kind of procedure. You know, he threw an inning in the cage before, so he was, you know, he was good. Everything's just that one pitch got him. But, it's less than an hour, and, you know, he basically kept pitching, so it wasn't like he was sitting around for the time. You know, we try to keep it under. He was, what did he have, 40-something pitches at the time?
You know, one game, Rick, obviously, that's how I look at this, but it just shows, and I think we knew this, I don't think we learned anything from last night, but it just shows how tough the Braves are. And this isn't the Toronto Blue Jays or even the Tampa Bay Rays or the Baltimore Orioles trying to chase the Mets down in the standings. And as well as the Mets have played, you know, think back to our conversation 24 hours ago, and much of it still remains the same, but the fact that they're only 4.5 games up on this team, all of a sudden, you have 3 interesting games to round out this series in Atlanta this week.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, that's give some credit to the Atlanta Braves. I mean, you write off what happened last night. I mean, and the biggest concern for me, forget the beatdown that we took, was, I mean, where Carrasco was grabbing is not a great place to be dealing with a pull, like an oblique strain, is especially for a pitcher. is not what you're looking for, and that's how fragile this thing is. That's why I was saying yesterday, let's bubble wrap these guys up. Let's get right to the postseason. Everyone's healthy and playing great. But I mean, outside of losing to the Mets, like, I mean, since that series, the Braves haven't lost. They've won seven straight. Like, I mean, they just, outside of the Mets, they just win baseball games. I mean, they're, and this is, again, you get a chance to see why, you know, a lot of the baseball experts that we talk to, when you ask them, you know, teams that they feel like are good enough to win a World Series, the Braves always come up, always, because, you know, pedigree from last year. And on top of that, I mean, when you see what Acuña looks like when he had a big game, he's been killing the Mets, what he looks like when he's right. And it just seems like everyone, again, one of those organizations that does a really good job drafting and developing, everyone that they call up, like, you hear Mets fans screaming, bring us Alvarez, you know what I mean? Like, bring somebody up, bring a young kid. Well, we don't want to put the pressure on them now. I mean, Braves call someone up. Instantly, they step in, and they help contribute to winning. I mean, Grisham had a couple hits last night. We got Harris is a stud in center field. So, yeah, that's a really good team.
No, it is. And there's really still no rational reason why they should have won the World Series last year. They were a 500 team, and then they lose their best player, or their second best player, if you're splitting hairs, for the second half of the season. And then they go on this incredible run with guys that had track records, but not big-time track records, that they picked up and filled out their outfield spots at the trade deadline. And then you lose the leader of that team, and he goes across the country, Freddie Freeman, and you get off to a slow start this year, and you're right back there. So there, you know, there's something about these teams with that championship pedigree, and this goes across all sports. And once you cross that threshold, you know, I've seen that in recent years in the NBA with the Milwaukee Bucks. We saw it with the Golden State Warriors this season. Once you've been there and you've gotten to that level, you're very confident that you can get back there again, even if the talent on paper doesn't suggest that you are.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is, and I think this is why, and I know fans are so sick of hearing of it, because we have enough teams in this city that don't have it, but culture and why it's so important. I mean, it speaks to that. Like, you have, like you mentioned, Golden State. Yeah, you have Steph and you have Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and you have Klay Thompson. And those are the guys that set the tone. They set the agenda. And then when you have young guys that come in, like, they know what the expectation is. Like, when you know, and I think that's why there was so much excitement about this Mets team with Buck and some of the veteran guys that they brought in. And I think part of the reason why the moves they've made at the deadline seem to have worked out, because you step in and you see what this team has and what the expectation is for you, and you're able to, you know, to rise to the challenge of that. And the Braves are one of those teams that are well run from top to bottom. They got a great GM and they got some really good foundational pieces that, even with the loss of Freddie Freeman, can, you know, have still been able to maintain that, you know, that expectation from whoever puts on that jersey.
Did you see Draymond Green got married over the weekend?
I did not see that.
Pictures on Instagram on LeBron James's page. LeBron James was a guest.
Well, they're buddies, those two.
I mean, they didn't seem to be buddies in the 2016 finals when Draymond came up and hit him below the belt.
They hit him in the nuggies, yeah. Well, yeah. Listen, that cost him a fine. That cost him an NBA Finals.
I guess they've both gotten over it. Pictures here. Steph Curry's there. They're dancing around. They're yucking it up. Looks like a nice affair.
Nice little get together.
It did look like it. So congratulations to let's see, Draymond and Hazel, August 14th, 2022.
Nice. How long you been married, Pat?
Oh God, you're putting me on the spot. What year is this? 22? Oh, 13 years.
13 years. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. Slurp that right up.
There
it is.
What a wedding night that must have been.
And every day for the last 13 years. Yeah, so congratulations to the Greens. But yeah, now to get it off that topic, let's go back to the culture for the Braves. And I do think that, look, but when you're the Mets and you look at the last two games of this series, this is what your team is built on, right? Because you got Max tomorrow, and then you got Jake on Thursday. So that's the formula for the Mets. So the ball's going to be in their hands. If you come out of this series with a split, especially after losing the first game, I think you're very satisfied leaving Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, that again. I mean, coming off the 4 out of 5, winning the 4 out of 5 in the previous series, that's all you really – yeah, could you, I mean, 3 or 4, great – that would be awesome, but you'd be happy with where you're at taking a split in the series.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.